Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of whether private contractors for secret intelligence agencies can use their advanced government-funded surveillance tools to spy on activists, political organizations, reporters, and labor unions for corporate clients or wealthy individuals. Lee Fong, a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund of the Nation Institute, joins us to discuss his article at The Nation, How Spy Agency Contractors Have Already Abused Their Power. Then we'll look into the state of the state in North Carolina, the model for aggressive Republican right-wing governance that could be a harbinger of what America will look like if the Koch brothers and Tea Party politicians like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz were able to take over the federal government. Jedediah Purdy, a professor of law at Duke University, joins us to discuss his article at the Huffington Post, Why I Got Arrested in Raleigh, The States Are the New Front Line. Then finally, as Turkish riot police are poised again to evict protesters from Taksim Square and Gezi Park, we'll get an appraisal of who the autocratic Turkish leader Erdogan really is and how much his polarizing personality is responsible for the escalating showdown between a growing number of citizens and the government of the ruling Justice and Development Party. David Phillips, the director of the Peacebuilding and Rights Program at the Institute for the Study of Human Rights at Columbia University, joins us to discuss his article in the World Policy Journal, Why Are Turks So Angry? And joining us now is Lee Fong, who is a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. He covers money and politics, conservative movements and lobbying, and his work has resulted in multiple calls for hearings in Congress and the Federal Elections Commission. He's the author of The Machine, A Field Guide to the Resurgent Right, and his latest article at the Nation is How Spy Agency Contractors Have Already Abused Their Power. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lee Fong.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
And today, the head of the National Security Agency, General Alexander, in a question from Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, she asked him effectively what Edward Snowden had said in his interview to The Guardian a few days ago, where he said, I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authority to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge or even the president if I had a personal email. Now, Senator Collins asked General Alexander whether or not that claim was true, and he said, no, false. I know of no way to do that. So are you reassured?
Am I reassured? I think we still need a real vetting of the intelligence gathering agencies and their contractors. You know, it's been reported recently that 70% of the intelligence agency budget has been outsourced to private contractors like Booz Allen Hamilton, where Mr. Snowden worked, and to other firms like CSC and SAIC, some of these large defense contractors. And I think it's very telling that not only did Mr. Snowden claim to have this type of power to snoop into people's private messages, but that there are examples of many other contractors that develop these types of tools for the government. And I think the question is not just, you know, does this whistleblower have this power, but to other individuals within the industry, could they use this for a malicious purpose? Could they use this in an exploitative way?
By the way, yesterday, in an interview with a former NSA official who was in the NSA for 37 years, rose to a very senior level, I mentioned that I got it wrong. I meant to say two-thirds of the intelligence budget goes to private contractors, and I said a third. So that is a figure that's certainly out there. And, of course, nobody can entirely verify that figure because everything is kept secret. But I guess the question that you've raised in your article at the Nation, Lee Fong, How Spy Agency Contractors Have Already Abused Their Power, it certainly occurred to me that if you have these vast government-funded, developed programs that these contractors are using, and since they're private businesses, what's to stop them from taking on other clients? Now, Booz Allen Hamilton gets 98% of its money from the federal government, but we live in this free enterprise country. At least that's the what the conservatives keep telling us, even though this whole thing smacks of capitalist socialism and subsidized profit. But is it possible that these big companies could take a contract, say, from the Koch brothers to spy on people that are demonstrating against the Keystone XL pipeline or something that the Koch brothers don't like?
Well, let me give you a quick summary of a story I broke 2 years ago that kind of demonstrates this issue that you're talking about now. In early 2011, I helped break a story that showed that three defense contractors, Palantir, Barrico Technologies, and H.B. Gary Federal, all companies with contracts with various intelligence agencies, had been solicited by the law firm Hunt & Williams on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the largest big business lobbying association in the country. And the chamber was interested in lashing out at its left-leaning critics, among them labor unions, activist groups like U.S. Chamber Watch, the SEIU, et cetera. And they developed a plan using their government-funded technology to snoop on activist computers to plant malware, a special type of virus that is very difficult to detect, look at private emails, monitor keystrokes, basically take private data from target computers, and then synthesize that information so they could continually monitor activist computers. In that same story, the same law firm, the same set of defense contractors then began creating a proposal on behalf of Bank of America to go after WikiLeaks. Now, in that those emails about that proposal, they said that reporters like Glenn Greenwald had to be taken down because they were the biggest, because Glenn was the biggest supporter of WikiLeaks. Now, neither of these contracts came into fruition because the story got leaked. The group Anonymous hacked into these defense contractors' emails, spilled them online, and revealed the contents of this kind of nefarious plot. And, you know, we don't really know what happened after that. The companies involved say, you know, they backed away once it was revealed. So this kind of demonstrates this entire episode. Demonstrates the danger of giving such powerful spying weapons and or cyber weapons, I should say, into the hands of private contractors. And I should just note one last thing. In the emails from these three private contractors, they had actually reached out to Booz Allen Hamilton to join their corporate campaign effort. So these are many companies with very powerful technology, very powerful spying tools that have at least shown the willing, their willingness to sell them to private interests to go after fellow Americans.
Well, I guess it's no small irony, Li Fong, that that the Chamber of Commerce wanted to use these intelligence and defense contractors like Palantir to go after Glenn Greenwald. They were right, weren't they?
They were quite right. I mean,
he's the guy that brought Snowden's material to light. And, of course, Palantir got its seed money from InQtel, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. And its founder, Peter Thiel, has also put up the seed money for Facebook and founded PayPal. And apparently Palantir, the interest that the government and the intelligence community have in Palantir is that they've developed the software that they developed for PayPal to stop Russian gangsters from stealing money online. And apparently that has morphed into whatever this secret program and whatever secret programs Palantir provides the government. It's apparently now valued, the company's now valued at $8 billion, but in the coverage that I've been doing in the last couple of days from former CIA officer Bob Baer and the former NSA officer William Binney indicates that we just don't know whether any of these damn things work, whether the real 900-pound gorilla in this story is government fraud. I mean, the defrauding of the government, that a lot of this stuff is just a giant swindle, a giant transfer of funds from the public's coffers into private, politically connected hands, like the people that run Booz Hamilton, the revolving door with the former head of the NSA on their board. And they, Booz Hamilton, are in turn owned by the Carlyle Group, which, of course, is the ultimate revolving door started by Frank Carlucci. And it has, I believe it has, former President Bush on its board.
Well, let me say this. In terms of them swindling the government, or at least overcharging the government, I don't have any details of this, but no one does, because a lot of these contracts are top secret. We don't know the extent of their budget. You can't file a Freedom of Information Act request. You can't even learn the true nature of the contracts and who receives them. So there's a big transparency issue here. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of overbilling if you look at what goes on throughout the entire Defense Department or what happened with private contractors in the occupation of Iraq. And finally, just in terms of the usefulness or the effectiveness of these cyber weapons, I will say I also wrote a story earlier this year for The Nation that looked into the big Mandiant report that revealed, I think in February, that the Chinese had been hacking into American corporations and government agencies. In that report, it showed that some of the technology or some of the information about the Chinese hackers had been solicited through H.B. Gary's website. So essentially, this government contractor, H.B. Gary, that had been involved in the Chamber and the Bank of America story, the Chinese were going onto their website and learning from them and turning those tools back against us. I hope my explanation isn't too convoluted here, but these are, at least for some of these firms, very powerful weapons, and we have very little oversight over them.
Well, but it's not such a stretch to sort of suggest, for example, that Palantir, that was started by Peter Thiel, who's a right-wing libertarian, he apparently had breakfast with Romney, who he thought would make a good president, and basically gave Romney advice that he didn't take. He's put up money for that right-wing hitman, right, that does these sting operations against liberals. He brought down Acorn. What's his name?
James O'Keefe.
O'Keefe.
I don't know if he funded the Acorn effort, but the videos that came just before Acorn from James O'Keefe basically mocking low-income people, that money came from Peter Thiel. And, he's funded a lot of Republican and libertarian politicians, going back to Newt Gingrich's 527 American Solutions. Thiel is very politically connected. He's on the board of Facebook. He's the chairman of the board of Palantir. He has his own venture capital firm that's involved in many companies called the Founders Fund. So this is kind of the, when folks talk about the rise of the 1%, and these very politically active billionaires who have a huge, huge role in shaping U.S. policy, he's certainly one of them. And this is part of a self-perpetuating problem, because you have a lot of these government contractors, particularly big firms like Lockheed Martin and CSC, that do a lot of lobbying, that donate to a lot of campaigns, and these politicians kind of create this or at least participate in this self-perpetuating problem in growing these defense budgets, continually handing out these contracts and not providing oversight.
But Li Feng, they have the ability, they have the tools at hand, these contractors, if based upon Booz Allen and others, what they have in terms of what they do for the NSA. Presumably, they have the tools that could essentially swing an election. If you have the ability to manipulate, look into everybody's email and find out what everybody's doing. I mean, after all, it was, Romney was brought down by his own words in the surreptitiously videotaped pitch he was giving at a fundraiser about the 47%. If you take that and writ large, and you have a well organized, incredibly sophisticated tools at your hand with very smart people, and you have a right wing agenda, and you're a billionaire, you got the money, you got the connections. What's to stop you from getting your guy elected through fair means and foul?
This is the big question. You know, I think privacy is the next frontier for a very controversial issue that we all have to grapple with. If you look at some of these malware tools that HB Gary's website once hosted, they're very tremendous. I mean, if you look on YouTube, for some of these viruses, IT professionals have taken them apart and figured out ways to counteract them. But you look at them, they're very strong. To give you an example of how quickly they can take control of your computer, someone can send an infected PDF to you, maybe create a name for it, or you know, a fake email that makes it very compelling sounding and would convince you to at least click on it. Once you've clicked on that PDF, the virus or the malware is on your computer. You have no way of knowing, and the attacker has control of your email. They can look into your private files. In some cases, they could monitor your keystrokes. And with that type of power, you could do anything. Like you're saying, you could break into a presidential campaign. You could attack a labor union. And let's remember, large corporations like Intel and Google, they're spending a lot of money protecting their intellectual property and figuring out ways to defend against these types of attacks. But if you're just some kind of ragtag group of environmental activists, I mean, you're naked. You're defenseless. There's nothing that you can really do to afford the type of IT defenses to block against these type of attacks, or at least really monitor them. And you're powerless if you can't communicate.
Well, but, you know, without sort of writing a science fiction script here in Hollywood, where I'm talking to you from, if you had the tools that Booz Allen has and Palantir have, for example, Prism being an example, couldn't you just, like, the day before a general election, send out emails to every Democrat in the country and tell them that the election's on Wednesday?
Well, you know, that type of subterfuge would probably be caught. But there are, I think, more subtle ways.
Well, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, and obviously not the best example, but I'm just giving you an example.
Well, sure. You know, the NBC News reported last Thursday that in 2008, the Chinese had infiltrated the emails of both the John McCain and Obama campaigns. And in fact, the Chinese government had hacked into John McCain's messages with the newly elected Taiwanese president. And again, this is in 2008. So this was an effort that was motivated by Chinese interests because they were very interested in the U.S.-Taiwanese relationship. But you could imagine these types of tools in the hands of a rogue actor, a political extremist, or even a special interest group. So the possibilities are kind of endless. I think a lot of Americans have kind of dumbed themselves down, and maybe through just the culture of Facebook and Twitter and all these websites, that they don't really think of privacy as a tool to hurt them. But again, I would just kind of remind folks, look at how the Chinese, the Syrians, the Iranian regime has used the internet to control people, to monitor telephone calls, to monitor email, and to crush dissent. I don't see that coming anytime soon to America, but just having these kind of capabilities out there sets a dangerous precedent, and I think could be used in a very bad way if it's in the wrong hands.
Well, Li Feng, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Hey, thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Lee Fong, who is a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. He covers money and politics, conservative movements and lobbying, and his work has resulted in multiple calls for hearings in Congress and the Federal Election Commission. He's the author of The Machine, A Field Guide to the Resurgent Right, and his latest article at the Nation is How Spy Agency Contractors Have Already Abused Their Power. We're going to take a brief station break and be back looking into what America would look like if the Koch brothers and Tea Party politicians like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz took over the federal government. It's already happened in North Carolina.
My name is Big Brother. You say that you are watching me on the telly. See me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me, you're testing.